Welcome to Chronic Curiosity, where we have real conversations with real people, from everything to anything, in attempts to facilitate dialogue with our fellow humans, and hopefully your curiosity as well as ours. If you can withstand the show, we ask, most importantly, that you tell your friends and family, but also, you can pick up some merch, or just donate to the show at chronic-curiosity.com in USD or Bitcoin. If you feel so obliged, you can give us a good rating and follow on whatever podcast platform you so choose. But please feel free to reach out to us on the website or the socials, which can also be found on the website, chronic-curiosity.com. And here we go.
So I got the gloves on, but I've reached out to a handful of folks and told them about, obviously, you know, my sister is an artist. The rhino on the wall that hangs behind me is hers. Like, these are all like straight up just original, just drawings, not framed or nothing. Like, this whole stack of art is just straight up raw. All of it, all like all the way down. And I don't know if you can, the camera can even see it. No. But it's, I mean, I don't know, a stack that's probably what, 4 inches high of just art upon art.
Can you hold one of them up at least?
Yeah. Oh, this one's cool. This one and the black ones. The ones with the black are my super favorite. But it's just absolutely incredible. Insane. So like, I want to show you one of these black ones too. I gotta be super careful because I don't want to fucking ruin them. There's all types, which obviously animals are her favorite thing to do.
Look at this cute little guy.
Aww. These black ones though are by far my favorite. Like the level of like, I love how some of them are like realism and some of them are just a touch of not. Like that one's just a cool little giraffe and the like insane. But yeah, just the, it's just mind blowing that I just have these sitting here and she has reached out over time to a bunch of, like veterans associations, like ways to help, you know, military families, like, or just in general. Like I remember she messaged me and was really touched by Rose and Dean when they came on, Dean with the homeless hookup and whatnot, but just like, she wants to do something awesome with them. So like, it's pretty cool. And some of them, like, you can tell, like, some of them are meant to be hyper-realism, and some of them are just meant to, like, just be art. Like, I don't know what that even means. Like, the difference, though, you know what I mean? Like, they're not all, like, some of them, the stuff that, like, it looks like a picture.
Yeah.
Like, Jesus, like, this, are you sure you just didn't, like, print that out, and that's just a picture of something?
Even the rhino one looked just like
a, yeah, yeah, like, and that was ruined. That was one that was ruined. And I'm like, I need it. Give it to me because just the story behind it for me personally was just insane. But yeah, like it's just as so we're, I've been reaching out to a handful of folks and cause it's just, I just have all the, and she just pumps this stuff out. It's so awesome. There's, I mean, she does color drawings as well. Yeah. And this whole thing is just full of gloriousness. And I have, not exactly sure what to do with it. But I've been reaching out to people to do something with it. I gotta take the gloves off now. I don't want to smudge things up, but it's, she wants to do something awesome with it. And there's people out there that just want to do good things for the community. And like, we just, it's so difficult. Are you not? Are you quiet? You hear me? You're just quiet.
Quiet. Yeah, everything's quiet.
Oh, yeah, I got yours all turned up, bro. I don't
know. Check, 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 check. Starting to be able to hear it. I can hear noise in the headphones. Check, check.
How are you feeling now?
It's still like pretty muted. Check, 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 check. It doesn't sound the same as over there, but it's okay.
Well, no, because I have your other ones all set up.
Yeah, it's all right.
Tonyized. I don't even know what that means. But the it is really quiet.
Oh, that's super. How about that?
How about that?
Oh, yeah, that's way better.
That's better.
I'll turn you down now.
Yep. Where's your love of animals come from?
I don't know. That's a good question. I guess she'll have to tell me when she listens to this, because she's also a fan of the show. I'm trying to get her on. Trying to get her to come on.
Dude, that's pretty gnarly, that turtle.
That is pretty cool. She just sold the painted. I think she actually was able to get her painted dog's one. It was at an auction, I think, or something like that. Brought quite a bit of money for the cause that they were trying to promote. But yeah, I don't know. Can you find that painted dog one? Does she have that one on there? It's the one it's color. It's a real big one with a bunch of the wild painted dogs.
Yeah,
that are just like tearing something apart. Does she have
that wild dog at the bottom?
That one right there.
Pretty unimpressed.
Yeah, that in the no up.
No, up in the middle.
Right there. Yeah. I've seen that in person.
Yeah.
It looks 10 times better in person.
Dude, those African wild dogs they're pretty crazy.
Insane. The speed. Yeah.
Like, yeah. I think, I'm trying to remember this. I think they're like the Lycaon Pictus or something. Like they're Latin.
He's out here busting out the scientific
name.
No.
They employ like crazy hunting tactics where... Oh. Like, and they can run forever. Like, they can cover distances and not get fatigued. And it's, like, distances that you'd be like, that's not possible. And, yeah, they have, like, these different hunting strategies. Or, like, certain ones will wait in an ambush, and other ones will pursue them to a choke point. And it's wild.
It's like they say, like, wolves are evolved to do that, right? Like, hunt as a team. That's where dogs came from, all those things. But, like, man, to be able to, like... strategize on the fly from miles away like that and put them in choke points and stuff like that as animals. Like there's something going on there, folks. I don't know what it is, but I think animals are a little smarter than we give them credit for oftentimes, just because they don't have opposable thumbs and the ability to manipulate their environment. But it seems kind of like they do manipulate their environment a little bit.
I've seen guys try and employ similar tactics in the club, but typically they crash and burn and it's fantastic to watch.
That's usually not the best place to, you ever a pack of wolves hunting in the club. It's creeper.
There's not enough testosterone to compare most modern men to wolves. Sorry.
That's also true. That's a scary thing as well, right?
Those toxically masculine wolves. How dare those damn wolves? How
dare them? Yeah, but so I don't know. I guess maybe I'm still looking for and trying to find ways to use our skill sets, right? To reach out and benefit the community, group, you know, whatever it may be. So that's, I think, with the art and what we're kind of trying to do here too, right?
Yeah,
it's been a while, Tone.
Yeah,
since it's been just us.
Do I have to reintroduce myself so everyone knows what? No, I'm just playing.
Everyone knows. I see you brooding in the corner sometimes.
Brooding,
maybe not brooding.
Probably just trying not to fall asleep. Not because of the guest, just because working so many jobs.
Yeah, you really went hardcore. You went from no jobs and never working basically a real job.
Sometimes I'm an extremist, I guess.
You don't say. Yeah. But we want to, I just wanted to kind of, I've had this box of art that I've been reaching out to a couple people in the community, here and there, just to like, hey, obviously I know somebody that's an artist that wants to take their work and use it for good, whatever it may be, like to be able to just help out.
Dude, why not host like a silent auction or something with like a, like bourbon and then food, and then you can display each one and people go up and basically say, hey, this is what I want to bid. And then, you know, you can either go a percentage of this goes to your sister and goes to homeless hookup or goes to Rose or goes to veterans or something. But I feel like there's something there where you could certainly like pair with, Michael doing the cigars, or pair with something doing the foods or cigars, food, Mariolas, and bourbon. And then there's a silent auction there.
Yeah. I'm down for it all.
Non-silent auction, and we do the auctioneering.
Give me 10. Can I have a 10? 15? 500. Wait, did I skip too fast? Yeah. 15, I don't know.
1,000? Is that what you said?
Yeah. So, I don't know if I should be an auctioneer, but I'm willing to facilitate it. Dude,
Tyler Dace's dad, old Timbo.
Is he an auctioneer?
Yeah, oh yeah.
I feel like you've mentioned it before.
He would just scare people into bidding higher with his looks.
Oh yeah.
You think I brood? No, I'm just joking.
Yeah. Well, I've just been trying to put it out there, and maybe this is why I'm saying it now, is just to put it out there for any ideas. Because any way that we can help and facilitate community and the benefit of, you know, nonprofits, whatever it is, if it's going to some good cause, then hey, I'm here for it.
Yeah.
Which reminds me, speaking of, I just totally popped in my head. There's the thing I told you about D Black from the studio. Can you look up the details on that? If they've done anything with that? I know she messaged me on the Instagrams, but they're doing, so from Flex Worcester.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's Flex necessarily. I think maybe D, just one of the instructors, is involved in it. But it's connected with Wayne County, I think, Children's, basically.
The Children's Home?
Yeah, like basically like trying to raise awareness and money for, to help the kids out in the community.
Okay.
And they do a bowling like event.
Yeah.
I think it's coming up in like June or something like that. We'll see if she can get the details on it. But I know she reached out to me as well. It was like, they're trying to get a bowling league together to raise money for the kids, in our local community. And I'm like, oh, I hate bowling. It's the one thing like my shoulder doesn't handle well, but I'm like, you know what? I feel like I'm interested. Yes.
Bro, you're going to Munson it, aren't you?
I'll double hand it if I need to, but you just realize there's so many people in the community doing things. So why don't we just continue to try to like expand those items?
Sure.
Right.
Sure.
So anybody that's you have an auction, maybe, some realistic animal drawings or any type of art that would fit in there. Always, if anyone's listening to this and has a connection to any type of community outreach thing that they're doing, more than happy to at least consider it. Right. Like, can't say that we can provide anything, but.
So I don't know if my mic is on.
Yeah, you're on. I can hear you.
It's July 28th. It's Strike Out Abuse Bowling Fundraiser for the Children's Advocacy Center. It's at Wayne Lanes, and it looks like it starts at 5:15. Bowling starts at 6:10. There is an Eventbrite link that you could find if you look up the Children's Advocacy Center.
Can you throw it on the, is there anything on there you can throw on there? Okay. Yeah. Cause I asked her, I was like, I don't think I told her how begrudgingly I was about bowling, but I was like, well, yeah, I'm absolutely interested. Focusing on, you know, how to mitigate's not even the right word. That's kind of a gross word to use for that. How to help when it comes to the Children's Advocacy Center and child abuse in the area. So it's like, yeah, I can't not say I'm not interested in that. I can't say I'm not interested in that. It's just, there's a bunch of different levels. So like you can just donate, you can like sponsor, you can come and bowl. You can sign up to be like a team. They said they had, I think they said they had like one or two lanes open still last year. So they didn't like, so you can like sponsor a team, a bunch of different things. It's just,
you how can do we be a lane sponsor? You can sponsor a family. There's just so many different ways that you can help.
Yeah, as a business, from a personal standpoint, you know, all the different things. So I haven't completely taken a deep dive on this, but she just reached out to me recently, and it might be something that I'm looking to do from a, at least from a show standpoint to, I don't know, but I have to get a team. Are you a bowler, Tony?
Do I look like a bowler?
I don't know. You got long arms. You could, you know, that ball doesn't have to drop
halfway down the lane.
Yeah, you're already release. Yeah, right. So maybe we should make a team of non bowlers. No, she's better than me. You can come hang out though. You can bowl with us. You're gonna really mess up our bad average though, because you're too good.
Just because I'm better than you does not mean I'm good.
I mean, I'm okay. Yeah. Wow. You're strangely good though. Maybe it's because she's a southpaw. There's something about left-handers that's a little weird. I question.
I'll give you that.
I think it'd be fun though. Yeah, I guess that's the point, is there's so many things around our community and around anybody's community that's just so many things you could easily get involved in to help out a little bit. So that's full circle.
Cool.
What we're trying to do with the art, the bowling, all the different things. I'd like to continue to do whatever we can, right?
Yeah.
If I'm not, because I sure as hell ain't getting paid to do this. I can tell you that. But I like helping people out. So anyway, I guess anything that's for a good cause, always up for consideration, right? Because we need more of it, if nothing else these days. It seems like I don't know. We've been doing this for 2.5 years now, Tone.
That long?
It was 2020, right? Yeah. That was when the pandemic
started. Oh, I forgot about that year.
Yeah. And the preceding two after that. Yeah. So it'll be 3 years. This fall. And I remember saying, we're in for a doozy next year.
Yeah.
And then next year is probably going to be even worse. And I regretfully, I don't think I was wrong.
You had more positive outlook for this year, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. It's not, I mean, it hasn't been super crazy. I think that's the positive piece of it though, right? I've realized that I think a lot of people are realizing that the past 2 years or even more so, but particularly the past 2 years have been a fucking shit show, a badly mishandled shit show. And people are starting to recognize the fact that all of the things that maybe we hadn't set in our brains as far as society and government and all the good things that we want to think about that are going on. I think the facade has been being ripped away for a while, but the past 2 years really just yanked it all down, at least in my sight, in my opinion. All the things that you thought maybe we were. And, you know, leading up to this point, it's like, I don't know. There's a lot of things that it just seems like a big charade. I don't know how you pronounce that.
I think it's charade, but I kind of like charade. Yeah, because things were so odd. But I think I went into it with low expectations. So I wasn't super surprised at the dumpster fire that ensued.
So you knew about it before I did, basically, is what you're saying. You realize how stupid it all was.
Maybe not to the magnitude at which it occurred, but yeah. Like I said, I didn't go in with crazy high expectations, just because I think I've been around enough people that I've seen certain trends. Right. And so I was like, I don't expect too much.
That's not a bad way to live your life, though, either. to not expect too much.
Yeah, I don't. I mean,
not
I
that you can't have, you can't enjoy.
Yeah, I'm not trying to say I was like fatalistic all the time either.
Right. Yeah, nihilistic is not a good way to be either. Mm-mm. You know, to never expect anything and to be just think it should all burn down, right?
And parts of it did.
Ooh, it did. But which were the parts of it that did? Do you think? Were they real parts?
Even if they were, it was probably good that they were exposed.
Yeah. What do you think one of the biggest things was that happened in the last few years that has really, or that should open people's minds?
The fact that an entity which didn't have certain rights thought it did to take them away from people and formulate restrictions on things that they could and couldn't do, and the lack of like utter common sense, it just wasn't there.
So are you saying that you think the, so I'm gonna go ahead and assume that we're talking about the WHO and CDC.
Some state government stuff.
So that's where, like, where did that come stuff? From? Right. Because like, cause I heard Fauci put out a statement. It was like, look, I never shut anything down. I just suggested options, and the local governments, I can't control. It was basically like, I can't control that the federal government or the local governments listened to what I said. Basically is what he was saying. He's like, I never shut anything down. I didn't fire people. I didn't close businesses down. I didn't close, you know, supply chains down. I just made suggestions. And I can't help it that, he didn't say this part, but it basically was like, I can't help it that the local governments listen to me. So it's like, is that kind of, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, part of it for sure. So yeah. And then, like I said, just the whole common sense thing, like just shutting down like parks and shutting down things outside the, like, I understand it gets pretty crowded at the beach, but that stuff to me just didn't make sense.
Yeah. I remember driving through, cause I was still working out in the field during the time. So I was part of a utility.
Yeah.
I had to, you know, I was quote unquote essential, right? Whatever the fuck that means.
Yeah.
But I remember like driving around past an area that it's like a picture in my brain. I could take you right back to the exact spot. I could pinpoint on a map and take you to it and say, this is the picture that I have in my brain right now. Of a local park in a neighborhood that had very minimal people.
Yeah.
And every single, I drove through there a lot. It was a place that I frequented, not the park, but the location due to my job. And I have never seen a child on that playground. Just, I'm sure there was kids that played on it, and there's families that were out there playing.
True.
And there's like pavilion. There's a couple little pavilions, a small area. I'm sure there were families that enjoyed it, but I never remember seeing, you know, anybody out there. And then when COVID happened, I drove past it, and it was like wrapped up in like caution
mm-hmm.
tape
mm-hmm.
for people to like stay off the fucking swings, you dirty scumbag. Like,
yeah.
And like the slides were all like taped up, and like, you couldn't like sit on, like they had like the park benches and stuff taped up. And it was like, this is a little weird. Like, even if I'm the single lone person out here, I'm not allowed to sit on this bench out in the middle of nowhere.
Oh no.
Like,
what?
No.
Or the trails were closed down.
Yeah. Yeah. The hiking trails were.
Yeah.
It did. It seemed.
But the certain things weren't shut down, or many people congregated, or it was like a pick and choose of, hey, these are large box retail stores. We're not going to shut those down.
No. And we're definitely not going to shut like a governor's dinner down.
Never.
That'd be silly. Because I saw a meme the other day where it was like, remember that time where they, I'm going to fuck it up. But it was like, remember that time where like we couldn't, there was this deadly pandemic, so we couldn't eat inside. So they built walls outside so we could eat outside, but it was just like the inside but it was okay because we were technically outside of the building. It's like, that was fun.
No, you could certainly tell it was like those points when you read a history book when you're young and you're like, how could something like that ever happen? Like, how could things be so upside down in that society? And then you were like, oh, we actually got the divine pleasure of living it.
We did. What do you think got us there? Looking back 3 years now, later now, like what was there?
That's a big, big question. Cause there's like so many different variables that I think went into it. I don't know. I don't 100% know. Like, I'm trying to think of the common sense aspect of it. I'm trying to gauge the preparedness, trying to gauge which officials were elected on popularity versus like people that actually understood what they were elected to do. I don't know if there's like one main answer. I guess, what do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. I've thought about it a couple times, but then as soon as I start thinking about it, it just kind of breaks my brain.
So that's cause there's just like a lot of revolving things that I'm like, man, I don't know that it's just one thing. I don't know if there's a primary contributor.
Yeah. And it's scary because I guess maybe the reason I ask questions like, how do we move forward and not do that? And the more like I look at history and see things going on, I guess I told somebody about this the other day, or I said this roughly to somebody the other day about the show and like, what are you trying to do with it? Or, what do you guys do?
No.
Like, I don't really know. We just talk. And someone else had messaged me, cause we've been doing the show, but we haven't been doing it necessarily as consistently and pointed as we have.
True.
But I want to be intentional about what we're doing. And that's the difficult part is I don't know exactly what that intention is all the time. But I've been active on the socials as well, just because there's so many things that have been happening that I've heard it said plenty of times. And I think we've said it where there's just so much happening that the normal person, quote unquote, whatever that means to you, doesn't have the time to keep up with it. And I've guessed part of the show in a sense, from talking to a bunch of people and having people respond back to, you know, hey, I listened to this guest, I listened to that guest and, you know, I heard this story or, I saw this post you made, whatever. And it's like, it really made me think. It was like, yes, I don't know exactly what all I'm trying to get at, but that it really made me think, you know, maybe, how many times you talk drug addiction. It's not what I thought it was.
Yeah.
I said that, you know, multiple times I've changed my thought process through the show. And I think that it's been one of those things that it has changed me talking to all these people and recognizing all these things and then saying, all right, maybe I just want to put as much out to people as possible for them to consider that there's more here, whatever you're looking at, there's always more there than what you originally think there is. And there's so many cliches for it, you know, don't judge a book by its cover or whatever. Like there's so much more to every situation than we ever really imagine, unless you take the time to go, all right, let's look at this from all different angles and consider this. And usually I think it, unless you end up somewhere near the position that you just described of, there's so many things going on here. I don't really know exactly what started the A, B, C, or D, or what caused this to happen, because it's it's the culmination of many events. And most things in life, I think, are that way, right?
Yeah.
So it's like when you have somebody, when I see somebody being so dogmatic about something, AKA mainstream media, government, all these things, like the Democrats are this, the Republicans are this. And it's like, you just see it's everyone. If you see somebody being completely dogmatic about something, then that's probably the time that like you're beyond the point where you should start asking more questions. Because if you've gotten to that point where you're dogmatic about something, you better be real, real tuned into it and have a really, really good argument for it. Because most of the time, life is not one thing or another, right? At least that's my observation so far. I don't know. There's just so many different things that you can see that, like, if without the beginning stages of things occurring and these decisions leading up to decision A, decision B, decision C, and then all of A, B, and C lead into the final product, well, then you have to go all the way back to the root, right? In order to say, how can we fix it? What went wrong? It's never one thing. It's never a political party necessarily, directly. It's never like you see a lot of times where it's like Republicans are like, oh, if you vote blue, this is what you voted for. If you voted red, you voted for killing children in schools. Like, fucking wait. Like, stop. Like, I guess that's the part I don't understand is how people can say something so clear cut and drastic as this is what it is. Especially older people than me. I'm like, man, like you've been a journalist, you've been this, you've been that for 30 years, and you think it's always one thing? I have a hard time with that. I don't know what that is. Like, what drives people to be that way, do that?
Yeah, it's almost like they stop learning to a point. Because I feel like if you're continually learning, you'd have to continue to question and understand that things are going to change. This isn't the answer, but I feel like a lot of the decisions that were made, you could trace them back. Like if there was kind of a reductionist to fear, and almost even to like maybe like fear at like a nascent state, a beginning state, if you will. That I don't know if maybe these people didn't fail enough in life at certain things, and. Or maybe that there were some constraints or parameters that, like, I didn't see. But, you know, maybe they were worried that, hey, we're going to lose our job or we'll never be in politics again. Or we'll, instead of just kind of saying, hey, guys, I don't know the answer. Like, I've never been through a pandemic before. We prepare for this. These are the steps that we had. I'm going to try and protect as many people as we can. I'm going to not try and ruin people's lives. There's going to be, you know, some things that happen. I feel like you could literally reduce it to like some level of fear with just not wanting to fail or not wanting to do anything that's wrong or not want to be worried to go against the norm or against the grain.
Fear is a powerful drug. Right.
Yeah. Yes, I was trying to like reduce it as far as I could.
Yeah, I can see that. I guess if that would be the one thing that would make sense, if there's any of it does, is the fear. Because we talked to plenty of people losing your job. Like, I get that. Yeah, I understand. Like, going through something and all of a sudden you're faced with an option of, especially in our culture of that everybody is so siloed in what they do, their professions, their jobs, right? So if you spend 15, 20 years building a career, building a family, a home, whatever it is, like building your path, and then to all of a sudden be given the fear that, oh yeah, this is going to be gone if you don't do this thing. I get it, I guess. It sounds like a lot. Obviously, I'm not trying to necessarily equate these things, but there's a parallel of, you know, people, when you look back at the World War II and like Nazi soldiers or even some Jewish prisoners, where it's like, look, you're going to do these things or you're dead. That fear, right, of instilling into a person of, you have two options.
you lose everything, or you do this. Neither are great options, but which is worse, losing everything or doing this thing you don't necessarily agree with, even if you've thought about it? Obviously, those two worlds are, I think, pretty far apart, you know, but it's fear, right? It's that instilling fear in somebody. I guess it was just the easiest thing that my mind kind of drew a parallel with was, looking back at history and war and different countries and different things that people have done throughout history and understanding the fear that can be instilled in somebody or just naturally.
Occurring. Yeah. Well, the intentional or unintentional. And right. It's weird. It's like fear spawns fear. Like even if the intentional actions weren't for, and I'm not talking about the, you know, World War II. I'm just thinking of like, maybe these people made certain decisions out of fear and then it caused more fear, even if it wasn't intentional.
Well, it's terrifying. Cause it's like all right, do I give into this fear or do I face it? What happens if I face it? Well, and fear down to its core and both of these items, if you're drawing the parallels is, all right, well, if I face it, I could die. You know, if I don't go along with option B and I say, no, I'm going to face this fear and I'm going to go head on at it and I'm going to see what happens. Well, you know, your brain does that calculation of, well, that's probably death because all the information that we've been given so far is this is not going to be a good outcome if you go against the grain. Fear at its core, right? Just fear doubled down. It's terrifying. Fear.
Yeah, I don't know. That's just kind of, if I had to reduce it, I feel like that.
I mean, it makes sense. Partially. Because that was, that's what drove everything, right?
It's
fear. So then it leads me to go, all right, well, the conspiracy theorist in me goes, all right, well, how much do people know that? Because if we can sit here and come to that, you know, conclusion,
couple of primates,
yeah, a couple of fucking primates,
couple
yeah,
of chimps
that just figured out how to use stone tools. You know, if we can come to that conclusion, well, goddamn, I know there's people much smarter than me that have kind of, that understand that. You know, reading, you know, people like Orwell and Nietzsche and you know, whatever, whoever it might be. You know, military generals, this, that, whatever.
Yeah. Like,
they understand fear as a motivating, it's one of the largest motivating factors of human beings, right? It's just at its core. So the scary part is all right, well, how do you identify someone that's using those things against you? Or is it just naturally occurring?
I think that goes back to that intentional versus unintentional. And then, I mean, I think when there's, like when fear is present, sometimes like greed is present.
That's the second one, right? That's gotta be the second one. Greed after fear
or power. So
yeah,
which well, they're come closely linked. Yeah.
Yeah. They just live in a trifecta of, it's like the grossest orgy ever. Fear and power and greed and, I guess money fits under power or greed rather, but you think we're going to come out of it, Tone?
Oh,
are we on the upswing or are we just on a lull right now? I don't know. I just saw Biden was going to, he's running again. He's going to make it another 4 years. Well, I guess it'd be another 5 years technically, right? Cause we got at least another year and a half ish. I don't know what's going on with that either. I don't know what's going on with anything anymore. He just looks at me and shakes his head. Yeah, I don't either. It's a weird thing to be. I think we're in a special time. I don't know if it's good or bad.
Yeah.
But I think it's a special time. People are waking up. I just talked to somebody the other day about the oftentimes you can't see the Great Awakening map, but we've talked about it a couple times in the corner. There's a new one. They've updated it. I was like, I sent the guy who got us that. I sent the guy a message. I was like, damn it. Looks like I'm going to have to get me another one now. He was like, oh, that's really cool. It's fun, but it's like, all right, how much of these things just connect and what can we do with it?
Yeah. Your question was, do you think we'll ever get out of it? Is that what you said?
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I think there is a great awakening coming. Maybe not quite like the typical great awakening map, you know, that we've talked about, but there, it does seem like there's a lot of people from maybe full circle going back the past few years, recognizing we got to do something. Like this is getting out of hand.
Yeah. I don't know that we do ever get out of it, but were we ever not really in it to an extent? Because it's always like varying degrees of what's going on now. And I think for me, I didn't look at it as like it wasn't and it was. It was kind of an always present to varying degrees, and it was like my level of adaptability. And I think if you possess that level of adaptability and you're not ruled by fear, you just figure it out and you just deal with it. It doesn't mean that life's not going to be unpleasant at times, but you adapt.
When you recognize you have no other choice, you go for the options you actually do have.
I think we always have to be willing to adapt. I think those are like the most successful people. And I don't mean successful by like monetary standards. I mean, like every element of success, like, hey, this thing's the most resilient. It adapted to this environment. It can live without oxygen. It can live in this environment with heat. This person had a family member pass away. Yeah, it's terrible, but they also have their other family that they also still have to take care of. Someone shut my business down, even though they didn't have the authority. Well, I'm going to figure out a new skill set. I'm going to adapt and figure something else out where I thrive. I've always kind of approached things with this adaptability. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. And we even talked to, I feel like Juan kind of brought that up too, our recent guest, about obviously that discussion was more about like personal relationships, but being able to adjust, right? And being able to say, all right, these are my set of standards that I have to not live by, but these are what's given to me now today where I'm at. What do I do with it? You know, where do I go from here? You know, just throwing up the white flag and laying down and crying doesn't help anybody, right? It's not going to help you for sure.
No,
if you're just going to quit.
That's time spent not adapting,
not progressing. Right.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that you can't reflect in those moments, but I think I think you have to use those to grow and to basically formulate new coping mechanisms or new constructive skills so that if it happens again, you can deal with it probably quicker or more expeditiously or in a different manner. And so that you also have the tools to kind of bestow some of this knowledge upon other people so they don't have to go through some of the same things that you did. And I think that's a society, like helping build a society.
Yeah, you do. We like to think about, we do the same. The idea is that with your kids, right? Mm-hmm. And your friends and family to, all right, here's some knowledge that I've had. Take it.
Yeah.
Do with it what you want.
I always, but and I don't know if it's true, but I've heard that like knowledge is, hey, you make a mistake and you learn from it. Wisdom is, you learn from other people's mistakes before you make them yourself.
Yeah. That's a tough one.
Yeah.
That's hard because I guess I look at that and maybe the most difficult part of that is recognizing the mistake before it happens, is mitigating that wrong, not wrong, but the misstep or whatever it might be, is trying to see the path, you know, and be forward looking. That can be difficult.
I think you also have to have people willing to voice where they messed up, so that the person behind you can actually learn.
Society where someone's not fearful of accepting that they're wrong.
Yeah. Like that's hard, to put yourself out there, to put your mistakes out there, even though you know that a lot of people could learn from it, but it's hard to put yourself out there when it doesn't look good. You know what I mean? It's easy to put your shit out there when you're doing really well and when you're really successful, whatever that gauge of success is, but it's really hard to put your failures out there, even though that's what a lot of people two steps behind you need.
Yeah. So what makes that hard to put your failures out there? Is it like failure of being judged?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I think it's different for everybody. I think it's easier to put your stuff out there for some people.
Ego and pride would obviously be the first two to check off the box. Why that'd be hard. Yeah. Just your own ego and pride. Mm-hmm. But you get past that. It's still difficult.
Yeah. When, especially if you haven't got to a level of success, you know, if you're successful, you can be like, well, these are the things that I did that didn't work. Mm. But like, people might need to know that before you're at this level of success. But if you don't have if you haven't reached it yet, it is difficult to say, let me highlight where I fucked up. But I have nothing to highlight yet of the things that I haven't fucked up.
I can see, you know? I haven't succeeded yet, but here's all the ways I'm fucking up.
I think I'm thinking like proportionality of success per person, that like you could probably find certain levels of success. And I'm wondering where that, like, you said that, what'd you say? Pride. And what was the other thing Arrogance. You said? Yeah. Where does that come from? Do you think?
I don't know. Fear. Honestly, if I had to answer, yeah, it's probably fear, right? Pride and ego comes from fear.
Hmm.
Really? When you boil it, like you said, lowest common denominator is fear, afraid that you're not going to be whoever you think you are to somebody else. Right. Isn't that what ego and pride is?
Mm-hmm. So how does that get changed?
Learning to be humble, I guess. And that's not an easy thing. To humble yourself. To understand that maybe this is the way that at least I feel like I've approached it and have found a little bit of solace, is recognizing how common failure is. Recognizing how common that people are. Recognizing that, like, no one goes through life like always nailing it, right? There's always, regardless of what you do, you're gonna mess something up. You're going to fail at something. And even if you don't, even I guess maybe you're going to, but even when you're not, people are still gonna hate your guts. If they have a chance, you give enough people enough chances, someone's going to dislike you, regardless if you're failing or you're succeeding, right? I mean, I know I do that to people. I think the reason they dislike you matters. Sometimes I think it's fine to dislike somebody just because your personalities don't get along, right? I think that's normal. Not everyone's going to get along.
Yeah.
Even if somebody doesn't do anything wrong or like, affront you in any way, there's just people out there you're just not going to get along with because your personalities are different.
Do you dislike those people, or do you not? You just don't invest any time in those people? Because I certainly think that there's the actions of certain people that, like, you would have to dislike because it goes against like everything that like morally is right.
Right, for sure.
But I think there's other people that, at least for me, where like I don't like or dislike them. I just don't invest any time in them or spend any time around them.
Well, so maybe I'll clarify. Maybe you're right.
Because I feel like maybe the old you would have disliked them, but now you're like, they're not worth the investment of any time.
Yeah, not that there's people that I dislike just because of who they are. It's you dislike being around them because of who they are, which is different.
It is.
So that, like, that I think you can dislike being around somebody just because your personalities just don't mesh well. Versus, I guess there's no reason to dislike somebody just because their personality is just not what I like, but disliking being engaged with them, you know, and I think it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're not gonna, we try to teach the kid this, like, you're not gonna get along with everybody. And guess what? Not everybody's gonna get along with you.
Yeah.
Not everyone's gonna like your personality. Hell, sometimes I don't like it. Sometimes I don't like my own personality.
Yeah.
You know, and recognizing that and just putting it out there and being honest, well, you know, you don't have to be a dickbag about it.
Yeah.
But being honest about, you know, how we feel with each other without being a jerk.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe we can work through some of those things and I can go, oh shit, I didn't even realize I was being a douche about that. You're right. I'm going to try to do better about my stupid ass sarcastic comments that you never requested.
Yeah. You know? Dude, hold that thought or continue with Cass. This is like my third water I've been chugging.
All right, we'll take a break. I'll do the same.
Well, I think we were talking about like the not being judged and then the arrogance and you said fear for that.
Fear.
Kind of reduced it back down to fear.
Fear makes you do funny things.
Mm-hmm. And it ends up leading other people to do funny things too.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Even if it's not intentional.
Yeah, that's even the scariest part, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you do things because you don't even realize, when you don't even realize you're doing them.
I saw you thinking through that and I was
it's like, oh, yeah. Uh-oh. Yeah, that's the scariest one. That's the furiest fear. It's when you're doing something out of fear that you don't even realize you're doing it.
I've never heard fear turn into that adjective.
Hey, you know how I do. That's me. We were talking before we started. We had just gotten back from Gettysburg and you still have that book sitting there.
Yeah.
And I think you asked me about General Lee, like what, or, you know, just in general, like why do you think the South lost?
Yeah. Cause I said that I was like, I'm from reading. I thought that he was the superior tactician. They seem to have the, that mission or like that spirit behind them. Like they had an intangible, if you will, for their cause.
Mm-hmm.
Like they were fighting with, and I'm not saying that the North wasn't, but they were fighting with a purpose to like keep a piece of them, what they thought was a piece of them. Yeah. And I was like, why do you think they lost it? I said, was it like a lack of financing? Did they not have the supplies? And then kind of that's when you cut in and I'll let you fill in the blank.
Yeah. So I've learned a lot. I'm still very much, very, very much in the learning process for the Civil War. But it's one of those things where I've realized there's so much, I guess it's one of those things that has surprised me. The more I dig into the past and history, regardless of whatever it is, I've realized, and I've seen, even though you hear all the, you know, the only thing people learn from history is they don't learn from history and history repeats itself. Mm-hmm. And, you hear like these crazy and intelligent people, you know, talk about history and really get involved in the things that happened. And what I think the fascinating piece is the whys, like, why did these things happen? What led to this, to this person to make this decision that, and eventually ended up causing this to happen. And then this to happen because of this happened. And I've, you know, familiar with American history, right? Lived here for a while. But there's so many intricate pieces that things have happened that people overlook, or at least that I have overlooked, and that I haven't really recognized the weight that they held and the reasons why, and ultimately what those things led to. So like I'm basically just starting to learn about the Civil War, basically for the first time ever. You know, we all know kind of what it is. We just went to Gettysburg for the second time, and this is the first, this Bro, last time.
Was, are you talking about the War on Northern Aggression? that's what they called it when I lived down south.
Yeah. Well, in a sense, it kind of was like the way it played out. So like that's some of the surprising things that I've learned, and I'm still, like I said, way into it, or just beginning to get into it. I got a book. It's a, you know, I showed you it's the Civil War, the story of the war with maps, by M. David Detweiler. And I got it while I was down there. I don't know if you can see it. But he does one. He had one for this, and he had one for just specifically the Battle of Gettysburg. So where he tells the kind of the cursory story with battle maps, like what state they're in, like when this general's moving here and this doing that, and kind of telling the story along with seeing the troops and these people move. And maybe it's just so, it's so striking, because when you look at it, you're like, well, shit, that's, I guess Tennessee. That's South Carolina. Oh, that's Pennsylvania. This is Virginia. Like, these are where these people, like, these stories actually happen. You yeah. go and see that history. Like, you know, I'm sure it's very similar if you go to Europe and basically fucking anywhere but the United States is. Chances are thousands of people probably died there at some point throughout history in some battle.
Have you seen those? You know what I mean? Have you seen those pictures where they'll have like the spots, but yeah. then they'll reinsert, you know, the bodies or war that's, those are wild.
Yeah. It's, I guess it's putting all that into perspective, mm-hmm. right. And understanding it like, oh, this is, you know, you go down to Gettysburg and you, it's really neat to understand, you know, where the troops were at and understand what all the monuments mean and the time frame, you know, it's within, it was 3 days and was it 71,000? Is that the right number? Or is it 50 some thousand? I think 50 some thousand died and 71,000, you know, were wounded. Yeah. Cause they give like the numbers for like, here's the numbers that were wounded, numbers that were killed, the numbers that were missing. And it's just every day. It's just the number, just tens of thousands. And the areas you can see from basically one end of the battlefield to the other. If you have the right perspective, it's a couple miles.
Yeah.
But just to understand how it all lays out and see it all play out, you know, some of the surprising things that like you realize when you start digging into the history.
On day three, this says more than 40,000 men laid dead, dying, or wounded.
Maybe that's what I think total. It was like almost 80,000 troops were there. It was like 40 some, or what was it? 35 or 40 from one, 40 from another. Like they're around that same, but they both
suffered the higher casualty. The
Confederates did.
Okay.
Yeah. And that was going back to, I guess, what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Is you realize like these little weird points that kind of stand out. You know, at the beginning of the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln was the president. The South wanted to secede and they just wanted to be left alone. And then, but they also started attacking federal locations and forts. So, yeah. you know, government, you know, since the North was kind of quote unquote, it's kind of like you look at the, even the Democrats and Republicans, it's, there's a split there where the Republicans were in charge. So Abraham Lincoln was a Republican. For the most part, the South was Democrats. And so essentially the North kind of sided with the Republicans and Abe Lincoln, then that was kind of what federal land was. And the South was like, look, like we're seceding. And by the way, like we're going to go ahead and take over these federal places in our land. And so it was like, they didn't want to, Abe Lincoln didn't want to like, you know, ruffle too many feathers. So he's like, all right, well, we'll just supply and, protect our federal spots. So like a lot of people have heard of Fort Sumter. And it's like, okay, I never like in seeing it played out and like seeing it on the maps and like in the timeline, it was like, okay, now I understand why Fort Sumter was such a big deal.
Yeah.
Because the South was like, hey, we're going to take this castle over. And the North was like, well, we're going to try to like prevent this from happening. We're not going to fight you guys. But because he was still trying to play politics, there was so much politics still going on. Like Abe Lincoln wasn't about, he really wasn't even about abolishing slavery. It was, he was trying to prevent slavery from extending into other states. And that was where they were like, nope, not happening. Like we're going to have to duke this out. So it's interesting to like, think about, you know, you look at all the funny things that we connect with today that, you know, the Democrats are about the, you know, they're the liberals, right? They're the social justice warriors or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And the Republicans are the ones that are the racist people. They're trying to keep, you know, the black man down. Well, it's like, well, it's weird that like people, you know, maybe the ideologies of the parties have shifted a little bit, but maybe when you start digging into it, maybe they really haven't changed all that much. And the ideologies and the laws that are set into place are often misconstrued by other people. Regardless, it's interesting to understand kind of some of that history. And then, you know, you asked me about like, why do you think the South lost? I don't know for sure, but I know why the South lost why Robert Lee and the Confederates lost Gettysburg battle. And it seems to be, that was the trend that kind of was their downfall, was they were kicking ass. South was kicking ass and taking names. They were undermanned, undersupplied, you know, under everything. They were the underdog. The Union had more troops, had better supplies, had better weapons, had more money, all of that. They were just, they had whatever it was, the passion for that they were fighting for, or the substance for, you know, the desire to fight what they wanted to fight for. And, you know, they had some really good tacticians. There were Union generals that were just lazy bastards. Basically, they were just fucking lazy, and they didn't have any discipline. They just had money, you know, and they thought, well, we're the Union, we're right, so that's, we're going to win this thing out. But then you go up against the good old boys that want to do, you know, that have passion and they have a good leader like Robert Lee. But in Gettysburg, you could see it, the way it happened. Like, I won't go to it in too much detail because I'll geek out on it. But from my perspective, it seemed like the South got there. The Union was getting there late, and the South was like, let's go get them. We got to attack. Like, let's do it. So they just started throwing men at it. Well, then the Union was basically able to set up in these hills and on the south side of town, and they had just strategic ground. Sounds like
they were fortified.
They were fortified, and they got lucky because the first Union soldiers that were there that ended up meeting the Confederate soldiers right at the beginning, they weren't well supplied, but they ended up, you know, getting reinforcements the next day, like that day and the next day, and they started fortifying a fortifiable spot and location. And then about halfway into the 3-day battle, into the last day, Lee just got power. It seemed like he was just overconfident and got power hungry. That, yeah, I've been stomping these Union bitches all the way up and down for the last year and a half. Because the Gettysburg was only what year? It was in 63.
Do you think he said that in his private quarters?
Something to that effect. That's, he was like, yeah, these Union bitches ain't gonna, let's fucking stomp these cunts. Yeah, something like that. But then you realize, like, at one point he got bad intel, and then at one point he thought, like, the biggest push was going to be like basically a 2-front push. Like, okay, he was going to push from one side, and then they were going to push from another side. And he woke up in the morning, was it July 3rd, the third day of the battle, he woke up and he heard the northernmost of his army in a battle. And he thought, oh shit, like, they already started. Like, but he knew, like, they were supposed to attack in secret. So he rode down to the second people that were supposed to go in, and they weren't fighting. Well, like, there's so many cool intricacies in here. But what happened was the second, battalion that he went down to and talked to, like, why aren't you guys attacking? Like, well, we haven't gotten the word to attack yet.
I was literally going to say, if communication was faster, would it have been different?
Yeah, he was on horseback. He got out of his tent and rode his horse, you know, 2 miles south.
Well, they should have learned from the Indians and sent some smoke signals.
Yeah, something.
Hoard Mike Tyson those dogs.
Well, it turned out that the fighting that was going on wasn't intentional. The Union was actually attacking them by surprise.
Okay.
So, like, they were already taken off balance on there, and then they went to the other person, and the other person was like, the other general that was supposed to lead the southern attack, he was like, yeah, he's like, I haven't received the command. He's like, but we just popped out of the fucking woods, and they popped out at the woods where there were supposed to be nobody.
Yeah.
And there was like 15,000 soldiers, like half to like 3/4 mile away on the next hillside. They're like, shit, what the fuck are we going to do now?
Yeah.
And it was basically, it's a real, not even a valley. It's just a real, like, farm grassy slope from like one tiny little hill ridge to another. And it's about a mile, I think. Okay. And, they were like, yeah, go get them. Like, this is a terrible idea, basically. And I think it was like that third day, it was like, I want to say was it 20 or close to 24,000 men went across the field, and over half of them died. Right. Jeez. Just from the Confederate forces on that. Like, just that, it was a Pickett's charge, was one of the most famous,
he lost 2/3 of his.
2/3. And it was like, I think they had like 15,000 or something like that, right?
14,000.
Yeah. So just in a couple of hours, And the Union Army on the other side, they had heavy casualties at the same time too. So it's like, you have 20,000 men, just a couple hours, just from as far as the eye can see. And it was just, it turned into, it seemed like they just got too arrogant. He thought, yeah, we're kicking ass. We're going to keep on doing the thing. And they just ran into a wall and got slaughtered because they got too overzealous. Overconfidence sometimes can blind you, right?
lack of fear in this one.
Yeah. Well, it was, yeah, because it's
the hubris.
Maybe it wasn't the lack of fear. Maybe it was the fear of running away. The fear of saying that I can't win this one. That's also fear too, right?
Yeah.
I think oftentimes, so that's where the hubris and the arrogance comes from.
Yeah.
Like, well, I obviously got to keep on winning, so I can't.
Yeah, I just always look at fear as like you probably need to have like a healthy amount of it too, like a realistic fear. And it sounds like he did not.
No, he like didn't. Yeah. He was invincible. Yeah, that's the way it seemed. I think at one point he was quoted saying, he's like, I thought my men were invincible. So he sent them into the slaughter.
I was just thinking
by the tens of thousands.
I was thinking about how different that question would be then versus today when someone asks, like, how do you identify? North or south?
Yeah, and that's, and the funny thing is that, like, you see these little weird pieces that, like, people want to romanticize on both sides. And they forget that, like, for instance, the whole Republican versus Democrat thing. Well, all right. Well, Republicans were the ones that technically freed the slaves. But then also, Abe Lincoln wasn't really worried about freeing the slaves in the beginning.
No.
He was just worried about, they weren't, not saying that he wasn't against it.
Sure.
He was against it, but he was playing the political game. When you really realize, like, all these politicians, they're the same as they are today. They're playing this political game and we're the football. So it's, he wasn't trying to say, hey, Confederacy, the Southern states, they weren't Confederacy at that point. But he wasn't trying to say like, hey, we're going to take away your slavery. He was just saying like, hey, we'd like to not let this spread.
Yeah.
Like, you guys got what you got going on. I don't want to piss you off. So you can keep on doing what you're doing, but we're going to try to make some new laws for the Western states as they come in to play.
Besides a lot more sweet tea, grits, and boiled peanuts, if the South would have won, how do you think things would have been different?
I think we'd probably end up being separate countries.
Okay, that's what I wondered.
And I wonder how much. I bet we'd be at least three separate countries.
Do you think that would be a bad thing?
I don't know. I think there's a lot of people calling for that.
Yeah.
These days is we're like, because when you recognize how big the states are,
yeah,
and like the differences in the actual and like state by state, Juan brought it up, our most recent guest, or not most recent, was he our most recent? I can't keep track anymore. But one of our recent guests, he was born in Colombia, and he's like he moved around a bunch of different states. He's like, each state is almost. Some of the, like, depending on where you go, like, it's almost like its own little country.
Yeah.
And most places in the world are like that. You know, you go into Europe, like, you could overlay the United States on top of the EU, and it's like, oh, but how many different cultures and countries and governments do they have within that square, acreage of land? So it's like, I don't know, maybe the United States has become too big and too populated and too much of a mixing pot to stay as one happy nation. I don't know.
It certainly doesn't seem super happy or united right now.
No. So it's like, how would you break it up? Cause now it's like, it's like that dysfunctional family. We're already way down the line, right? If we would have broken up
California, no, I'm just playing.
Yeah, but all those, like, there's like chunks. There's like LA. Yeah, there's like chunks of it that were like, maybe if the South would have won, I think if I had to guess, I would put my money on there'd be like a Northeast country a Southeast country and a Western country. And I don't know, maybe the Western country would still be the Wild West at this point. I don't know, but it's neat, I guess, to see the history and the story behind like the United States, and to kind of starting to understand like truly like how it all really came to be and how really it's not all that different than any other country. You know, we all like, there was the problems, all this stuff, but it's so new because there was not a whole lot of quote unquote civilization here and people, you know, obviously the Native Americans, Indians, whatever you want to call them, were here.
Yeah.
But you know what, there's tribes here and there, and then you had the Apaches just running around killing everybody. You just at willy nilly. I feel like those were probably like the Mayans, you know, they just kind of like, cause they were fucking crazy ass people too, just fucking slaughtering everybody until what, Spain came in and gave them all sicknesses and killed them. Like,
yeah, but were we not crazy people too?
Oh yeah.
Slaughtering the indigenous.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
All the while they're doing like, it's all happening all at once.
Yeah.
Right. I think maybe that's the point. Like people forget is the white man came in and slaughtered the Indians. But mostly by their pathogens they brought with them. Yeah, there was some pretty dark stuff that happened physically there. But guess what? There was also dark stuff happening physically before we ever showed up. You know, tribes would go and slaughter each other. You know, tribes, you know, I mean, all the way back way before the white man came to America. So it's like, I guess the part that kills me is like you understand people when they're making some of these arguments for whatever it might be. I don't know, whatever, but they only go back so far. They're like, they start from this timeline when Christopher Columbus came over, and that Christopher Columbus guy, he was a real fucking asshole. Well, yeah. Guess what? A lot of people were assholes back then, including the Mayans, including the Apaches, including all these different tribes that would just slaughter each other, including the Christians in Europe, you know, in their crusades. Including the fucking Greeks, including the fucking Mongolians, you know, like including some of the African, like militias and guerrilla groups today, including, you know, the shit that's happening in Libya and fucking Ukraine and Russia and Afghanistan. I just saw the other day, I can't remember which one it was now. It was, the Taliban killed one of the top ISIS leaders or something like that. And, you know, to a lot of people here, ISIS and Taliban is one and the same.
Yeah.
Guess what? They're fucking spelled different. Those are two different groups and they're fucking killing each other. Meanwhile, like we just finally pulled out of there from killing them from, you know, whatever, like we're always just killing each other. No matter what point you go throughout history, someone's fucking killing somebody else. So I utopia sounds great, but is that ever going to happen? Can it happen? I don't know, but I would think the first steps would be to recognize that this is how it is, how it's been, and that one group, you may disagree or agree with one group or another, but there's a lot of people that are sitting on the other side of the fence for just as many legitimate reasons as you are sitting on yours. For the most part. I mean, obviously there's some really aggressive assholes through the years, but for the most part, when you look at human history, it's like, we're just out here trying to fucking kill each other because of land, power, greed, whatever it might be. Fear. I don't know. Is that really what it boils down to? Is just, we're just so afraid of somebody else taking what we have or taking our food, our freedom, our land, our whatever.
That we want to acquire more so that we think we have a better chance of survival or
we go, oh, this person's a threat. So that means we have to attack them now. Maybe, you know, where does it stop though? I guess that's the eye opening piece, is like, we've just killed each other since we've been in existence, just like animals.
Yeah.
You know, at least we've gotten further enough away from, like being bears. At least we don't eat our own kids anymore for the most part. Just because. What's that face for?
Just for the most part.
I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of cultures and times where people have been forced to eat their own kids because they didn't have any food. That's a thing that's happened.
Yeah. I was not the same, but I was reading about the Greeks or the Spartans today and like the eugenics that they practiced and that how the babies that were misshapen or sickly, like there was like a mountain that they would like cast them down, and yeah, they just wanted like the best of the best.
Yeah. Well, same thing like the Mayans. They would capture another tribe and just sacrifice tens of thousands of them on the altar just because. Like, I guess the whole point of...
Well, not just because. If it's a sacrifice, it's for a reason.
Well...
Yeah, I didn't know if they were like... I was getting at the most heritable characteristics, like that kind of that breeding thing.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know if they did the same thing, where if they saw like a particularly good-looking woman or... someone that, you know, was able to bear 10 children, if then they would procreate with that to perpetuate their tribe.
Oh, I would think. I'm sure they, I guess I don't know that much about the, I just know that the Mayans slaughtered, basically as much as I can say, is I know they slaughtered tens of thousands of people all the time. Basically, it seemed like they were just sacrifice happy. But how many times does that happen throughout history too? But I mean, even speaking of the South and the North, how many Southern slaveholders, you know, for lack of a better term, bred with their slaves? A lot more than most people would ever like think about.
Yeah.
You know, and how many, I went down, not necessarily rabbit hole, but like one of the first legal slave owners was a black man in the United States. So like, it's just not that, obviously, that doesn't discount the racism and atrocities that, you know, the quote unquote white man brought down upon that. But like, just some of the things that like connect with these, like, we can't forget that these things happened. So like, you know, that the fact that, a lot of slaves came from, Africa that were captured and put in prison by their own people. And then they were thrown on Italian ships or French ships or whatever it is. Like, that doesn't discount the atrocities that happen, but it's when you're looking at something that's so incredibly not only heart-wrenching, but nuanced, for lack of a better word.
I was waiting for it. I was like, here it comes.
Here it comes. But like, it's understanding all these things that, yeah, maybe 99% of what happened was just the white guy being a fucking douchebag. But that doesn't change that other people were doing this too. So you can't necessarily always say that, oh, it's just because of this, that, whatever. Like, unless you talk about all the aspects of it, you don't get the full picture of what happened.
Not just the cows.
Yeah. Like you have to, if you're going to attempt to understand it all and try to really take up the flag for something, I guess, maybe that's a better way. If you're really trying to, you know, take up a flag for something, then you should probably understand all of it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not trying to take up a flag for the South by any means, like, or the North, whatever it is. I'm just trying to understand more.
Yeah.
So I can understand. All right. Like,
learn about all the flags before you take up the one flag.
Yeah. Like, maybe my understanding of this, I should really put some thought into before I'm wholeheartedly sold on, you know, vote blue no matter who, or, you know, Trump's going to be our savior, or I don't know, whatever it is, you know, abortion rights, or what, all the like high topic things you can think of. Let's think about all of these aspects and understand them before we just start spouting stuff and being hateful to somebody else just because they have a differing opinion. Because if you don't understand the opinion of the person you're arguing against, then how can you even pretend to understand the argument? you know, obviously there's things like slavery. That's pretty wrong. I think we can, for the most part, agree.
Universally agree
on that, right? But how did it all happen? How did it all go down before you start casting judgments on people and the situation at hand? It's just interesting to see those little pieces. They're like, oh, I didn't know that. I think that's interesting. I didn't realize that Abraham Lincoln didn't really start off to, like, I don't know if I just never grabbed that or they just never taught me that. He didn't really start off to abolish slavery. That wasn't his goal. He just didn't want the country to fall apart. It just happened at the end. He's like, look, since we kicked your guys' asses, that's, you know, or since we were able to keep our asses intact, really is what it was.
Yum.
Yeah. We're going to abolish this while we're at it. So he got something. It's politics, right? It's just funny to see it all come full circle. It's like, well, shit, the same thing happens today. You know, they're passing these bills back and forth through Congress and House committees. And well, we won't let this pass unless you play our game, unless you give us this, unless you give us that. It's all politics at the cost of the humans that live. It's kind of scary sometimes looking back at the last few years and looking forward to 2024.
Adaptability. Adaptability. Yeah. Cockroach here.
Yeah. So I got my chickens. We're going to be over flooded with eggs soon. We got a handful. We got three roosters now. And but four more hens, so six hens.
I'll buy some eggs.
Sorry, 10 hens. Yeah, you said it. 10. Oh. Six adding to the four equals 10. Thanks, babe. Yeah. It is pretty cool, though, to watch. To, like, grow something. I don't know, grow. That's probably not the right word.
Raise?
Yeah, but I also basically birthed them. Not...
Part man, part chicken. Hey, Cassie, where's Fred at? Hey, he's laying some eggs over there. He's incubating.
He's keeping the eggs warm. It's fine.
Hey, you never know, right?
He's daddy seahorse.
They follow me around like they know me. I don't know. It's gonna be interesting. I think what your prediction was before, that Biden wasn't going to make it like a year and a half. He's done that.
Is that Biden, though?
I don't know who it is anymore.
Is that an actor of the state?
I don't know. He some of his pictures do look a little funny from a UCM.
Are those the same earlobes?
They do. How can you say that he doesn't look vastly different? What about the earlobes pictures? What about those?
They look like normal fucking earlobes to me.
No, they do. I'm not saying the earlobes aren't normal. I'm saying,
is it different? Is it too much to ask for a president that can piece together a semi-intelligible sentence, that can walk up a set of stairs without falling, that when there's a crisis doesn't talk about the kind of ice cream that he's eating? It'd be awesome to be like proud, to feel proud of who's running the country.
It would be awesome. It'd also be awesome to have a president that they can get up there and just fucking talk shit to people.
Yeah.
Like, that's fun.
Oh, yeah. No. I'm not just referring to Biden either.
Yeah, no. Like, yeah, just in general.
Yeah. Someone stately.
Yeah, that actually pretends to care.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, we're a big nation. And like, I expect some of that shit from, like, smaller countries that have like 3 million people. You know, hey, they only got 3 million people to choose from. They get what they get, you know. Sometimes you get a little corruption. Sometimes maybe the guy just wasn't, you know, quite as intelligent as you thought he was. But damn it, 330 million people. And this is what we're left with. Even the libertarians. I said that before the last election, Joe Jorgensen. Fucking knock it off.
you ain't making it to be like, can we get somebody please in some kind of like fashion that can probably become president?
I feel that there should be like some sort of a presidential Olympics for like a combine that. For the presidents, yes. Where you have to display kind of your intellectual skills. You have to display your common sense. And you can throw in whatever category you want. Let's figure this out right now. Like what would that look like?
Like the
Hunger Games of presidents. If
Survivor,
you will.
Maybe even. Yeah. Like I said, we've been watching. We've been picking that up. Watch. I realize why people love Survivor. It's a weird fucking game, but I understand it. Yeah. Why don't we do that instead of?
Yeah, there should be a litmus. There should be a test
that you have to go through
publicly.
Yeah, because I've already seen that. If I'm correct from what I've seen, the Democratic National Committee has already said they're not doing any debates at all. So he's the one. We're not letting anybody else even like join a debate. And
that's smart.
Right. And Trump has already said that he's not participating in any RNC Republic debates. Like, so what? You're both just fucking hiding in your basements for like last time. And those are going to be our choices. That's it. We don't have any choice whatsoever. It's fucked.
Mutual combat between the two of them.
I'd watch.
Oh, fuck. I'd watch that. And there's no way they'd let that happen, though. Biden's one fucking half step away from gone. Just gone, gone. They can't have they can't have an ex-president die on TV. Oh, you know, except for JFK, which his nephew's running. Yeah. I might vote for him. I don't know. I'd vote for him over Biden. I'd vote for anyone over either of them at this point. I don't know anymore. Who do you think is one of them going to do it?
Going to do what?
They're going to get it. Do you think it's going to be Biden versus Trump again?
Are there any other choices at this point?
I don't know. I mean, whoever the Libertarian Party is.
Are there any other choices at this point?
Maybe. I don't know.
That would be fantastic.
I hope. I don't think it's going to happen this round. But that's kind of, I think, with the Great Awakening that I think.
You were telling me a little bit about that. The next cycle.
Yeah, I think
it's. Which you're like, I can't fathom that. But you said that that person that predicted that has been pretty correct in the past.
Yeah, I've seen a couple different polls, and I know polls are bullshit and everything else. But there is obviously a great disapproval from both sides of Biden. There is obviously a mass disapproval from the left of Trump, and there's a growing dissent on the right. But I think the most hopeful and uplifting thing I've seen is there is a growing divide in people that identify as independent.
Yeah.
It's like, yes, I have some hope now. Cause at this point, like if you're diehard, I'm Republican, I'm Democrat. I think the window of what you could consider yourself Democrat or Republican and be diehard for that. I think you have to be willing to admit that you are not considering some aspects of what that quote unquote party stands for. And you're saying I'm voting for them because of A, B, and C. And I think those numbers are, I think that those options, like why you would vote for Democrat all the time or Republican all the time, is getting smaller and smaller because they both seem to continue to make complete asses out of themselves consistently when you really look at all the details. So I hope more and more people are seeing that people are just people. And sometimes we fuck it up. But if you're not willing to at least try to make something better after you royally fuck it up, why are we continuing to vote for you? Like, what's the purpose? I don't know.
there just seems so many oxymorons now, with particularly within politics.
Emphasis on the morons.
Yeah, emphasis on the morons. Yes. Yeah. Where it's like, you know, the easy examples I see are like the left being super against corporatism and this, that, whatever, right? Well, Pelosi was one of the top traders on Wall Street. That seems awfully weird. Well, guess what? At the same time, so is Crenshaw.
Yeah.
One of the most beloved Republicans. So it's but like,
none of them are passing laws quickly to abolish inside stock trading.
Yeah. So the only assumption you could, at least the easiest assumption you can make from that is, well, that means they're making a bunch of money.
Yeah.
For just being in office and knowing things. That doesn't seem quite fair. So where do you turn? Back to them.
Well, there are four people running for the Libertarians. A Lars Mapstead, a Chase Oliver, a Joshua Rodriguez, and a Michael Tiermate.
Jo Jorgensen? She's not running this year? Okay.
I mean, this was just listed 3 days ago.
I like Jo Jorgensen, but she's not ever going to fucking become president.
Yeah, so those are the only four listed right now.
So it should be interesting in the next year to see what happens, but I'm actually excited to see the numbers. I still think, you know, a Democrat or a Republican's going to win, but I think there'll be a massive jump in alternatives, and I think it's going to be hard, but I think it's got to happen if there's any hope for us.
I just had an interesting thought.
Laid on.
I was just thinking, what if they elected like an artificial intelligence that was the president? That's
fucking terrifying.
Yeah, maybe. Although maybe not. Maybe not more terrifying than what's going on right now.
Yeah, but there's no way that would happen though. With everything that's set up.
I know. I'm just saying. Hypothetically. Yeah, hypothetically. Hypothetically, I was thinking, like, what if that artificial intelligence was always able to assess, like, the best outcome of every situation?
Even not all the situations. But, you know, the first thing it would do is what would say, at least this is my thought, we don't need 85% of everybody employed by the government fired.
Mm-hmm.
Sign me up. I'll vote for that. Because that would be like, what are all these people doing?
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. I don't get what all these people are doing. All the interns. I mean, I know supposedly interns don't get paid, but I'm sure they do get paid. I think at this point, because everyone gets paid now. If college athletes are getting paid. Like, what are they all doing? I don't understand. All the IRS agents. Or maybe AI for the win. Or lose. But you know what? At least we wouldn't perpetuate the dumbness. We wouldn't end up like Idiocracy. Have you watched that movie yet?
No.
You gotta watch it.
Yeah.
It's scary how similar it is to today.
What's that movie about again?
That's the guy. It's I want to say it's an early 2000s movie where who's the guy from Old School? No, not Will Ferrell. The guy who...
Mitch?
Yeah, it was like The Bachelor. That his wife divorced him and Will Ferrell. And
yeah, yeah.
And Vince Vaughn got together and they're like, we're going to party. And they're like a bunch of old guys. Like, oh, I'm trying to remember. But it was him. And he was...
One of the Wilsons?
Yes. Yes. It's... Yeah. Yeah. It's Owen Wilson's brother.
Luke
Wilson. Yeah. So him, he's like basically an army private. So he's just like an army enlistee that signed up for this cryogenic program, and it's him, and they cryogenically freeze him and a stripper, and like they wake up accidentally, the program like kind of gets like, I can't remember, it's like
glitch or something,
they forgot about it or something like that.
Yeah.
But they wake up like 300 years later or something, and they wake up and they're like the two smartest people in all of civilization.
there's no way that could be that. Like, that's not a stretch. I mean, think about if Benjamin Franklin woke up today.
Or
Nikola Tesla woke up today.
Yeah, I'd be like, what the fuck's going on? The opening scene is hilarious. I don't know if you could pull it. I'd be willing to. It's like a 3-minute like trailer where it's the
Idiocracy.
Idiocracy. Said? Yeah. Open it to like,
I'm gonna find opening it today trailer, and watch
Idiocracy.
It.
It's fantastic. But the very beginning of it, it's like this wife and husband that like have like good careers, you know, they're white collar workers, whatever, and they're talking about having kids. And they're like, well, you know, just I don't know, like if it's not the right time, like we're not financially well off, this, that, whatever. And then you have like the typical like, and they like flip to this like typical like trailer trash like guy coming out just like banging his neighbors, and like he's got like 3 kids with his wife and like 2 kids with his neighbors, and like he's just like, I'm fucking everything, and like those are the people that just continue to procreate,
yeah, spread their genes,
yeah. So then like it ends up being like, oh, you got it, yeah. But it's like the whole movie, like they end up like watering their plants with like Gatorade, because like Gatorade came out with this, the advertisement, like it's what plants need.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, this is what plant. And then and like Luke Wilson's like, no, you just use water. And they're like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. He's like, well, try it. And then like the crops start growing. And they're like, oh, this guy's a genius. You have that turned off.
To become an endangered species.
Having kids is such an important decision.
We're just waiting for the right time. It's not something you want to rush into, obviously.
No way.
Oh, shit, I'm pregnant again!
I got too many damn kids! Thought you was on the pill or some shit!
Hell no!
Must have been thinking of Brittany.
Brittany? No, you did! What? There's no way we could have a child now. Mm-hmm. Not with the market the way it is, no.
God, no, that just wouldn't make any sense.
Come on out of here, bitch! He don't care about you!
Yeah, well, there must be something he likes over here!
Don't mean nothing to me,
Leave
baby!
Off.
Oh, shit! It wasn't me! It wasn't me!
Well, we finally decided to have children, and I'm not pointing fingers, but it's not going well.
And this is helping.
I'm just saying that before I have in vitro, maybe you should be willing to...
It's always me, right?
Well, it's not my sperm count.
Yeah! Yeah! I'm gonna fuck all of you!
That's my boy!
That's my boy! And it shows his family tree.
Peavon is lucky to be alive. He attempted to jump a jet ski from a lake into a swimming pool and impaled his crotch on an iron gate. But thanks to recent advances in stem cell research and the fine work of Doctors Krensky and Altshuler, Cleavon should regain full reproductive function.
As he already has like 50 kids.
Unfortunately, Trevor passed away from a heart attack while masturbating to produce sperm for artificial insemination. But I have some eggs frozen, so just as soon as the right guy comes along.
And so it went for generations, although few, if any, seemed to notice.
At the dawn of the 21st century, the Army began a top-secret experiment.
Yeah, so you can pause
Joe
it
Bowers, our first subject yes, for the human hibernation experiment.
Yeah, so like,
yeah,
they're like, all right, we got to like preserve some DNA. Yeah. And then they wake up years later and they're like, oh, like, I'm not that smart. But I'm the smartest person in the entire world. Jeez. It's like, I think that's what like Orwell or, you know, you said Tesla. Like, I've seen a lot of weird things about Tesla too.
Where yeah. People are like, they might have been outliers though. Like, if we sampled from the general population, but
for sure.
Also, like, they were working. So they didn't really, they may not have had time to read books, may not have access to books. So there is that argument.
Yeah, for sure. But it's, I don't know. It's just like, we're, maybe, and then I struggle with it. Like, is this just how it's always been? Probably. Right. There's always the outliers.
Yeah. Maybe it would be interesting to like, deposit access to knowledge that we have right now 100 to 200 years ago and see if the result was the same, if the response was the same. Like if there was still that lack of pursuit of knowledge.
Yeah. And I wonder how much that is intentionally constructed to be like, to like, you know, you hear talk, people talk about like, they said the same thing with like newspapers and media that's doing today, like intentionally directing people in certain paths to keep them from trying to pursue said knowledge. Right. Just keep them entertained. I was thinking about the other day, it kind of blew my mind. I blew my own mind thinking about it. Like what's the number one export out of the States in the last 30 years, 40 years? The only thing that really we've done for the rest of the world is a benefit. Entertainment. The only other thing we export better than entertainment is probably war. What other what are we giving the rest of the world?
Oh, I think there's certain medications that we give them. Okay. Medical procedures.
That's true. That's probably third on the list behind war and entertainment, I would say. Right? Are you gonna disagree with that?
No, not at all.
You know what I mean?
It'd be a fool to argue with that.
Well, there's also medications that we've given to the world that probably aren't.
Oh yeah, for sure. For sure. I mean, in certain like certain devices or certain things, probably, I would imagine. Like not medications, but I mean, hey, like I'm saying, here's something that like we created that probably came through some part of the space
Tesla
exploration or something. Yeah.
Tesla cars.
Maybe.
Yeah. Well, like we really think about that. Like racking my brain, think about what have we as a nation given the world as a benefit? Like, could you like look back into the, you know, the 30s and the great, like early 1900s, fucking freedom.
Yeah.
Right. That'd be the first thing. Well, we defeated the goddamn Nazis, gave the world freedom.
Not yeah. Really. I mean, even you could probably start at about 1880 and like, and I, obviously there's all kinds of inventions and things right. before that, but 1880 to probably like mid 1940s. And the amount of things I think that were developed was just phenomenal.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying they were all from the state side, but right. you've got flight, you've got like rocket propulsion.
Supposedly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You've got the telephone, you've got the yep. computer.
Yeah, but what about the last 40, 50 years? Since what, maybe the 70s, it'd be like rock and roll and LSD.
Yeah.
Like the, yeah. so that no, maybe saying, that's where I'm, we started going downhill.
I'm saying in that period of time and, yeah. and hopefully it like maybe this with AI will be that next propulsion.
Yeah.
That advancement.
Yeah. I guess maybe that's my hope too, is the recognition of, look, folks, maybe the last 30 to 50 years, we've kind of sat back on our laurels.
A level of stagnancy.
Yeah. So like maybe we should, you know, get out there and
helicopter.
I was thinking about, you know, spread curiosity.
Helicopter of knowledge.
Helicopter knowledge. I was going for more, you know, spreading curiosity and
common sense. Spraying or spreading curiosity? What would you
God
say
damn
that?
It, Tony. There's a lot that we could do.
Yeah.
And hopefully, I had this conversation with somebody the other day. They were kind of doing, not necessarily a mini freak out, but just like, we're like, what the fuck are we doing? Like, where are we going as a people, as a nation, as a world? You know, I think it was something stupid over like a social media thing or whatever. But it was just like seeing the degradation.
Yeah. Of,
I think the scary part is not necessarily the degrading of society and people as individuals, because there's always been that, right? There's always been the people that are fucks regardless. There's always been the people that can kind of be successful or can kind of pull themselves out of a terrible situation and help other people. And, you know, there's always those people that are gracious and charitable to help everybody out, but then like there just seems to be a trend of with technology, those people are just trying to like, fuck it, just free float. We don't, because we got technology, right? And like, what's going on? What's the trajectory?
What do you mean? Influencers aren't doing anything transformational?
Right. So what's the trajectory of our society and the people in it? Right. Precisely. So it's like, what are we doing? It's like, you know what? Well, maybe I do have a little slice of hope that with the access to knowledge that, you know, if I can find curiosity and lessons learned from learning about the Civil War, learning about other countries, you know, halfway across the world, that I don't have the opportunity to visit and get to know, but I do now because of the internets and all the things. So like, maybe there's still that small little window of hope that if we can let truth and information free flow, and I'll even say putting a little bit more weight on people that have anecdotal stories and evidence and experiences that can articulate them well and have really thought about their own experiences. You know, subjectiveness and objectiveness don't always have to be like objective reality is always the best, or objective truth is always, it's obviously what happened or what is happening, but anecdotal experiences, I think, is what lends us to innovation in a sense.
Yep. You know,
to really bridge those huge gaps where, you know, throwing anecdotal evidence out or experiences, maybe that's not always the best thing to do. Like there's something to that people are experiencing things that we don't, there's not one entity that has a full, control of the truth.
I mean, they should always both be explored, but I think approach with that hermeneutic of suspicion. And so it doesn't need to always be empirical, but like that anecdotal balance as well. Mm-hmm. And I think you should equally pay attention to both of them.
Pull out what's
suspicion and adoption.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's still some cool people doing some cool shit out there. I just don't think as much of that is disseminated. And I think a lot of the stuff that we keep hearing in the news is that fear. But there's certain people out there that don't have the fear, I think, that are pursuing some stuff that is altruistic, or they want to advance society.
Yeah.
And we just need to recognize those people a little bit more.
Yeah. Instead of the people that we're told to recognize.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
100%.
Yeah. All the individuality and the individual journeys that, you know, podcasts that are going on, people talking, right. Get to know people that you never would have known, and recognize that shit, these people are maybe doing something really awesome. You know, you look at all the different discussions that, you know, podcasts, whatever you like, enjoy, like those aren't people that are on the, trying to think of the right word, the certified, you know, information. Yeah. That's okay to ingest.
Blue checks.
Well, you can pay for that now.
I know.
$8, bitch.
It's too expensive.
Too expensive for someone that's a millionaire, but agreed. Just keep on exploring, right? Because you never know when the truth that we've been taught turns out to not be quote unquote truth anymore.
Yeah. And I think, and just going back to fear in general, so like the fact that it can be healthy or it can be unhealthy.
It's what you do with it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Don't be afraid to be afraid and to diagnose it and investigate it. Tony, good to have you back, brother.
Yep.
Yep.
Thank you for joining us today. Remember, check out the website, chronic-curiosity.com, to join us at the forum, have some fun, interaction, pick you up a comfy t-shirt, or if you just want to support the show and donate, all that is on the website as well. Thank you. Until next time.
See you.